here's two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Xavier Will. Scott Goble. RX Muscle Australia proudly presents Aussie Muscle Radio. Yeah!
Welcome to another episode of Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm your host, Davey Wills, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host of the Patreon Crime, Scott Goble. Scotty, I know you're not on your deathbed yet, but you're not feeling too great today, are
you? No, I'm not feeling at my best. I've got some sort of little mild food poisoning or gastro thing, so it's been so long since I've been sick, I forgot what it was like. It's really quite an unpleasant experience, but the show must go on.
Exactly, Scott, and I like that you didn't even tell me that you were sick or anything. You just, you know, just set in the time and you're on time, so I was happy. But you did a bit of filming, I don't know if it was this week or if it was last week, for Max's Muscle TV.
Yeah, it's just Sunday gone, so just a couple of days ago we put in a big day of filming with my good buddy Luke Shembury up there in Sydney. So all will be revealed with the new series of Max's TV, but we did quite a few little skits and things, so I think everyone should get a laugh out of it.
Yeah, I like the get up you guys had on, so it's like the what was you were like the old school kind of Gold's Gym type looking guy, and Luke Shembury was like the typical I suppose like Lebo type looking guy.
Yeah, look, Luke forgot that we were to get dressed up in any fancy gear, so he just rocked up in his normal training attire. And I was the old bodybuilding tragic, the happy pants style things and the bandana and everything else. So yeah, no, we had a good laugh.
Looking forward to seeing that. I was talking to Aaron Pilates, and he said he's got some filming next week to do for Max's Muscle TV as well. So sounds like it's going to be a good series coming up. But Scotty, we finally had a contest to talk about and wrap up, and that was the Orlando Europa show that was on over the weekend. And I mean, looking at the lineup and the names that were in it, it was kind of disappointing. I mean, like, we had some, you know, some pretty average names in there, and you know, just guys that were, you know, would normally place on the lower half of the top 10 in most small shows. But it actually kind of, the top few competitors were actually really good. The top three was really good. And the story of the day was basically Justin Compton, and the hype that's going to come out of this is going to pretty much, I think we're going to see that through all the way to the Olympia. Granted, he obviously competes at that show. But, I mean, what do you think of Justin Compton? What do you think about his future? Because to me, he looked like the runaway winner here.
Oh, I agree. I think he won it easily. I think they tried to hype it up a little bit between, you know, the second place guy, John De La Rosa, but to me, Justin won it, you know, pretty much from every single angle. I'm pretty happy with his performance, because at the start of the year, we tipped some up-and-comers, and he was one of mine, so he hasn't disappointed me. Still a very young guy at 25 years of age, still growing very, very fast, and in no way damaging his lines. In fact, every pound of muscle he puts on, he looks more and more cartoonish and crazy. So I think he has the potential to do big damage in the future. I don't know how big a damage he can do right now, because we haven't seen him up against the best of the best. But he certainly deserves to be talked about when we're discussing the Olympia. Not in terms of a winner, but maybe, you know, one of those guys of the, you know, 6 to 10 range, maybe pushing to be, you know, be a young guy breaking into the top six at some point. So, he's a pretty exciting guy in terms of his potential.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, going out on a limb here, if he did do the Olympia this year, I'd pick him as top six, because this is my kind of theory and what I'm basing it on, because I think John De La Rosa in this contest was better than, doing the Big Ramy comparison, because I think everyone thought Big Ramy could potentially win the Olympia, and based on what he looked like at the New York Pro, you know, he could have made a case for that. But I think John De La Rosa was better than Victor Martinez was at that New York Pro last year, so maybe Justin Compton didn't blow John De La Rosa away as much as Big Ramy blew everyone else away. But I think Justin Compton, I mean, I would really like to see him stood next to someone like Dennis Wolf. And Dennis Wolf placed third in the Olympia last year. And I think Justin Compton, every comp I've seen him in, he's been in good condition. Last year, he was perhaps, there's people saying he's perhaps a little bit flat, and he came fifth in Chicago. But I actually thought he should have been higher at that show based on pitches and what I saw from that. But he's gone from being, I think 4 years ago, he was actually, he looked like a natural guy. He literally looked like a natural guy. The next year, he made crazy improvements and then came, I think he's about 15th, 16th in, I think, the heavyweights of the Nationals. And then the next year, wins his pro card in the super heavyweights, I think it was. And then the next year, placing fifth in a pro show. Then the next year, winning a pro show convincingly. So, I mean, it's only been probably about, I was talking to Mick about this, I don't know if it's been eight, or probably about 9 or 10 months since the Chicago show, and he's made those kind of improvements. I mean, he's probably got, what, about 5 months till the Olympia, 6 months till the Olympia, or whatever it is. I think he can make big improvements between now and the Olympia. So if he chooses to do that, he was going to do a few shows. He's going to do in New York and stuff like that, but he's going to take some time off now and, I think, just ride the momentum.
Yeah, it's probably smart. I don't know if competing between now and the Olympia will do him any favours. It depends. If he did the New York and he won it, then obviously the hype would just build and the momentum would carry him through. But if he was to do the New York and mess up a little bit and end up coming, you know, third or fourth behind Rami and Juan and maybe some other dude, Akeem or some freak, so yeah, then it'd be all over. So I think he's positioned himself very well in terms of you know, marketing him and hyping him up. So, yeah, it was a pretty spectacular showing from in every possible way. Like, the conditioning, the added size, everything about him was impressive.
Okay, I've got a question for you. Who would win, Justin Compton at the Orlando Europa or Dennis Wolf at the Arnold Classic this year?
Dennis Wolf, I think. I think Dennis is still a fair bit bigger than Justin. I think he's just an inch or two taller and 20, 30 pounds heavier with the same cartoonish qualities. I think Dennis has got a better leg development when you look at it from the back and from the side. I think Dennis still edges him out.
Well, I don't know about from the back. I think Justin's got obviously a much fuller glutes and things like that, but from the back in terms of his actual back, I think that's where Justin needs work, Justin Compton. But just because you see him compared to John De La Rosa when I saw the video footage and in photos and stuff, and you can just tell him that back development, that's where he'll need to really improve to be in that top six in the Olympia. You know, the only guy I think he could actually knock off from the back now in that top six type of talk is possibly Sean Roden, and that's about it. So he does need to improve from there. But once he does, I think he's going to be a real contender. And if not in this year's Olympia, I think in next year's Olympia, he could possibly be vying for that, you know, top three or even top spot in the Olympia. You never know. But yeah, I'm very excited to see what he does. But Scotty, what do you think about second place finisher John De La Rosa? Because he was prepped by Chris Aceto, and I think Chris and Dave were kind of, you know, they had a vested interest kind of in seeing John do well, and they said it was, you know, quite close and stuff like that at prejudging. But they still said they had Compton winning, but it did look like it was a bit more of a blowout than what they suggested. What did you think of John De La Rosa, and was he a clear second?
I think he was a clear second, and I think he was much improved. He's always had great shape and lines. He's always come in condition, if not absolute freaky, grainy hard. He's always presented really well, and he did all of that again with a fair bit of new muscle. So, again, another young bloke who's consistently improving every time he gets on stage and doing so at a fairly rapid rate, but not in a way that's damaging his, you know, his lines blowing down his waist or anything like that. So I'm pretty impressed with him. He's still one of my up-and-comers lists that I'm keeping an eye on because I think he can keep moving up and doing damage.
Yeah, I agree. I think maybe John, I think he could have even been a little bit better. I don't know if he just lacked just a tiny bit of, fullness where he's just filling out his physique and looking that kind of really razor-sharp conditioning, or if he's just kind of saving it for the Arnold Brazil. But I think he could still be a little bit better. While he was conditioned, his glutes were in and stuff, or maybe there's just a tiny bit of water under there. There's just something that wasn't where, you know, you could tell he's probably about 90%, 95%, not that 100% real crisp look that, you know, I think we have seen him harder before.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's got a little bit left in the tank, and that's probably just a, you know, byproduct of jumping in the show at the last minute. So I think in 2 weeks' time, he'll be absolutely bang on the money.
Now, Fred Smalls, he's got to almost be like a little bit disappointed because, you know, coming into this, it probably was the best Fred Smalls ever or close to it. He was in condition, which is something we don't always see from Fred. Do you think he should have placed, you know, do you think he could have placed second, or do you think it was right where he should have been?
No, I think it was right where he should have been. I still don't think he was as hard as John Dellarosa. It might have been his best conditioning ever, but I hate this thing about, you know, people are rewarded on their improvements. You should get placed, you know, how you look compared to the other guys on the stage. And I thought Compton easily had him, and John Dellarosa had him, you know, fairly comfortably in my eyes in terms of condition. So it might have been his best look yet, but he still can come in harder and better again.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Now, Daniel Toth, he was in fourth. I mean, he hasn't got the prettiest physique, but he is big and he is hard. But I actually thought he was probably slightly better last year. What did you think of Daniel at his showing?
Yeah, look, I don't really like his physique because he's got that big waist. But when you look back at the entire lineup and scan the entire lineup when they're standing there, he looks enormous. So he's got to be rewarded because he is one big dude. He's one of those guys, you actually look at him individually and you think, oh, no, it's not real pretty. But then you put him next to the other guys and you appreciate the amount of size and muscle he carries. So I don't have a big problem with his placing. I could have maybe bumped him down. As compared to when he did the European shows last year, look, he might have been a little bit harder. It's hard to say. I think yeah, you're probably right. He probably was a little bit better in the past and could have been a little bit harder and drier still.
Yeah, for sure. Now, Eddie Wilson comes in fifth, and he's basically a no-name coming into this show. He looked very good from the front. Like, his front shots were very good. Where he kind of struggled was the back. It looked like he couldn't actually do that back lat spread and a few of those shots quite properly. What did you think of Eddie? Is he the guy you perhaps could have put ahead of Daniel?
No, he's not. He's not one of the guys I would have put ahead of Daniel. I thought he was good. Like, he's got some nice round muscle bellies and some good shape and size about him. But no, for those reasons, he was pretty deficient in some of those back shots. And I looked at a few and I thought, oh, maybe they've just caught him in transitions and stuff. But then I was looking at him when he's lined up with the rest of the guys and, you know, they're hitting multiple shots over a long period of time and he just can't pull his lats out. So I would have penalised him for that, and he would have been down behind some of the guys that, you know, finished even lower again. So he was the surprise of the show, probably, because I've never heard of him, and he does seem to have some potential. He could have come in a little bit harder, had better presentation and been, you know, in fourth spot or pushing third. He's pretty decent.
Yeah, he's just his back lat spread. I was just going through the pictures again, and it's just, he's got a funny shape. He's got, like, very thick, wide, almost like, yeah, really wide lower spinal erectors, and it's just kind of a strange, different-looking back, which I don't mind, a different kind of shape. But, yeah, he just couldn't open up that rear lat spread, and I think that really actually probably hurt him in the end, but it didn't hurt him in this contest, at least, anyway. But we had a few good names still. I mean, the top 10 was actually pretty damn good. It was actually pretty deep. Considering it was a small lineup of only like 15 guys in the end. But we had Arn Wynn and Ben White. We had Ben White in sixth. What do you think of Ben White? He's another guy that kind of struggles from the back.
I thought he was in condition, but I thought he was vastly scaled down version of the Ben White I've known in the past. So I think if you jump on stage with 10 kilos less muscle, you can only do so much damage at this level. So I was kind of, I guess I was disappointed in Ben. Like I said, I was impressed with his conditioning, but everything else about him was just like, ugh, like, you know, what have you done?
Yeah, I mean, he actually, I don't know if it was last year or year before when he competed last, but he was actually, I think, a lot worse than he is now. I think he's actually even put a couple of kilos of that muscle back on at least. But yeah, his back, I don't know what happened to his back. It just seems like it's just shrunk right down. And his whole physique kind of has shrunk down a bit, but his back especially. But he did come in condition. I was almost actually surprised he was as good as he was and placed where he placed. So Arn Wynn, I think perhaps he was one of the guys that probably got one of the slightly rawer deals coming in seventh. Overall, I thought the comp was actually judged really well. What did you think of Arn Wynn? Do you think he should have been maybe up in fourth or something?
Yeah, I could have seen him higher, definitely. On the basis of conditioning, one of the most conditioned guys in the show, and you know, not the biggest by any means, but some, you know, small joints and small waist and big round muscle bellies and no major deficiencies anywhere. So, yeah, I would have liked to have seen him a bit higher for sure. Up around fifth or thereabouts, probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. I was talking to Mick about this. I don't know if it was on the radio show or off air or when it was. But Arn actually seemed like when he made his pro debut, it was like his debut year. He was coming in around fifth. I think came even fourth in some shows. And he almost seems like a little bit smaller now. Do you see that as well?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe he did just focus on conditioning because he hadn't nailed it for a couple of outings. But, yeah, I don't think he was ever a big guy. Or did he turn? Mick, no. I think he might have turned pro as a light heavy. Or did he turn? He must have been heavy. No, he must have been heavy. But so regardless, he's probably never been one of these dudes which is, you know, 230, 240 on stage. He's probably always been in his 220s. So he's not a massive unit by pro standards.
Yeah, and we had Marius Donne, who I thought his career was ended. He said he wasn't going to compete again because he did have some health issues. I'm not sure exactly what they were. But he came back. He came back to on stage, and hopefully that's not, you know, he's not risking anything by coming back. I'm sure there's obviously, you know, some sort of risk there. But he comes in and he looked, I mean, his structure when he stands on stage, in the way he poses and the way he kind of presents his physique, he does look very impressive. I see some photos of him and I think, shit, he could have placed higher. But he wasn't, you know, supremely conditioned like he has been in the past, perhaps. And he wasn't maybe perhaps quite the size as well. But, I mean, I thought it was a pretty impressive comeback.
Yeah, look, he's the guy that I thought obviously could have been higher. I would have liked to have seen him compared with Toth and those. I thought he could have been as high as fourth. To me, there were a few poses where he just leapt out as a clear winner of the second round of comparisons and stuff like that. So, yeah, I thought he looked good. Not as good as when he won, what was it, a Tampa Pro or
yeah, it was something like that.
He wasn't that good. Like you said, he wasn't quite as big as that. He wasn't quite as conditioned as that, but he wasn't small. He wasn't soft or off by any means. And he's got that crazy structure. So yeah, I would have liked to have seen him get a better look.
Yeah, I was just going through photos again now and actually seeing him from the back and stuff as well. His hamstrings are all cut up. You know, he's got glutes, perhaps, you know, just slightly off of conditioning to what he was before. But, yeah, he did impress me, and he was one of the guys I really would have liked to have actually seen higher. One of the few, I suppose, decisions that I saw that, you know, I'd perhaps, you know, change. But it's obviously hard to tell us looking at photos. But I love his small waist and the way, I suppose, his physique flows and the fact that it's different as well. He's got a real different kind of shape to him. But down in ninth, Clarence DeVise. I saw some pictures of Clarence maybe like a week or so out or 2 weeks out, and he was looking reasonably conditioned. I thought maybe he just needs to drop a little bit of water. He did not bring the condition. He actually looked in worse condition than 2 weeks out. Clarence comes in off time and time again. Do you think he'll ever kind of refine that? I think he's New York Pro where he brought in really good condition. Do you think he'll find that again, or do you think he's kind of done with finding his condition?
Oh, I'd like to think he could find it again. He's not far off it. He's only a couple of weeks off it. I don't know. I think he just needs a few reality checks like this where he looks at the lineup, realizes he probably could have been fighting for a top three spot had he absolutely nailed it. And, you know, it's probably just a bit of hard work and suffering away for him. So, yeah, look, he's an impressive physique, and his head-to-toe development is absolutely nuts. But, yeah, he just needs to come in harder. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, exactly. And I just want to mention Keith Williams in 10th place, ex-actual NFL player, for those who don't know. He comes in 10th, and I think, yeah, he's one guy that could have probably placed ahead of Clarence, I think, just on conditioning. But, yeah, I think it was just another consistent showing by Keith Williams.
Yeah, something about Keith's legs have never been good, and one of his legs looks small. His left leg looked smaller than normal. I think Keith's getting on in age, and you know he's got to be a fair bit of wear and tear in those knees from his past athletic background and all his training. And I think Keith's pretty much coming to an end.
Yeah, no, I agree as well. But Scotty, that's a wrap from the 2014 IFBB Europa Orlando show. We're going to head to a break, and we're back in a few minutes for your Ask Scotty segment and Bodybuilding Yes or No.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at MassNutrition.com.au.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them, because they challenge the way people make you think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm joined once again by Scott Goble, and we are here for his Ask Scotty segment and Bodybuilding Yes or No. Scott, are we ready?
I am ready.
Okay, we've got a Justin Compton themed Bodybuilding Yes or No, with some predictions and stuff like that. Okay, first question is, will Justin Compton place top six in this year's Olympia?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he's quite at that overall size. I think that top six will probably be Kai and Phil, obviously, Dennis again. I could see Bonner beating Justin. I could see Rami moving up there. Still got Sean. I think he's going to be 6-10.
Yeah, I don't know if Sean Roden will be in there, that broken foot, but
good point.
Happened to him, so I'm not sure if he'll actually make the Olympia at all, or if he'll compete, or what will happen there. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with, like, you know, Rami and, like you said, Bonac in there, and perhaps Rolly in there as well. It's going to be very, very interesting top 10. And also Victor Martinez as well. He might be in that, around that 6th to 10th place, or even higher. So it's going to be very, very interesting. Second question, will Justin Compton ever win a Mr. Olympia?
Yeah, well, that's worth asking, which is rare, when you got Phil and someone like that at the top, who's just so genetically elite. But Justin doesn't really seem to have any weak points, and his weak points of last year, which was probably his lower body, he brought up to the point where it's almost a strength. So he's shown that he's got the work ethic and, you know, the ability to bring any weak points up. You know, he probably will get on stage with a better back next time, maybe some improved hammies or whatever else he needs. So I think Justin is going to keep improving. I don't know what the window is or the ceiling is in terms of his development, but 25 years old, Phil's getting on, you know, maybe in 5 years. Yeah, it's hard. You never really want to pick a future Mr. Olympia. It's a big gamble, but yes, I reckon he will.
Yeah. The thing that scares me about Justin as well is that he'll perhaps try to pack it on too quick. I mean, we saw Dennis Wolf when he first came onto the scene and people were saying, oh, he could be a future Mr. Olympia. And there's talk of, that's when, you know, they're saying Phil Heath as well. And they were saying Kai Greene, and they were the kind of upcoming future Mr. Olympias. And Phil's obviously one that's established that. And Dennis Wolf, obviously, he came third in the Olympia last year, but he hasn't really realised that that potential and that, I suppose, promise that he had back then. So I'm hoping, obviously, he's only 25 years old now, which is extremely young. I mean, when Dennis Wolf first competed at the Olympia, he was, I think, 28 years of age. So he's going to be 3 years younger than Dennis Wolf, so he's going to be pretty much a baby of Olympia stage. And he's got, I mean, if he competes till he's 40 in the pro ranks, that's 15 years. So he's got potential to obviously become Mr. Olympia and stay Mr. Olympia for a while if he ever did realise that. So he's one of those potential ones. And like you said, it's obviously hard to predict at this point. You know, Justin could kind of, you know, blow out his physique to some extent where he kind of gets a little bit of a stomach on him or something like that, where it kind of can't be reversed. So you don't know. But yeah, I'm excited to see if he does win an Olympia and kind of how he goes this year. Okay, next question. And the final question in bodybuilding, yes or no. Would Justin Compton beat Big Ramy on the Olympia stage this year if they both compete?
If Justin Compton rocked up looking the way he just did against Ramy, the way Ramy looked last year, I would say Justin would probably just pip him on the basis of conditioning and separation and polish and stuff like that. Now, if Ramy's made any sort of improvements, Ramy's definitely got him on size. All he has to do is come in a little bit harder, then Ramy will move ahead of him again. I think this year Ramy will be in front.
Yep. Yeah, fair enough. All right, now moving on to the Ask Scotty segment. Okay, first question here is, should you limit your pre-workout, your supplements, sorry, pre, intra, and post-workout, or do you believe if it can be included and there is potential benefits, then it should be included?
Yeah, exactly that. If there are, you know, potential benefits to it, then why not throw it in the mix if there's no, you know, potential downside to it? So yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's going to be a financial point that you reach where you're, you know, spending $150 a week on your pre, intra, and post workout supplements, and you know, it takes you half an hour to weigh out your 5 grams of this and your 5 grams of that, where it might be just, you know, overkill. But yeah, I certainly believe in pre, intra, and post workout nutrition, and I don't think it's going to revolutionise or transform your physique overnight. But I mostly do believe that in a worst case scenario, it's not going to hurt, and in a best case scenario, it's going to help a little bit. So yeah, excuse me, go for it.
Awesome, good answer. Second question, would Lee Haney be able to qualify for a Miss Olympia if he was competing in this era?
Undoubtedly, because Lee Haney would, in his mind, be competing against guys of this stature and this size, and Lee would have done what he needed to do to pursue those guys, and he would have had the additional knowledge that they have and the chemistry and everything else. So, yeah, Lee Haney would be one of the best competing at the moment. Now, if you took his, you know, 91 physique, which was probably his best ever physique, his last Mr. Olympia, that would, even that physique there would probably be enough to, you know, win a low-level show and get to the Olympia. He was pretty bloody awesome, Lee. Like, if you go back and look at him, he was beating Dorian and Sean Ray and Vince Taylor and these guys. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I agree as well. I was actually thinking about it. I thought, nah, he wouldn't qualify. And then I was kind of thinking, wait, like, look at the guys he beat. He's beating, you know, like you said, Sean Ray's and Vince Taylor's and stuff like that. And they were bloody impressive. And I think they would even be able to win shows now, so yeah, I think you'd definitely qualify. And I think that, you know, he didn't have the biggest legs and things like that, but he, you know, just the way his physique kind of opened up, he just, when you see video, and I think if you saw him in person, he'd just look absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you take any of the best of their era and you move them to another era. I mean, it's not a fair comparison, but if you assume that they have the knowledge and everything that the new era has at their disposal, the cream will rise to the top once again, and those guys will be fantastic.
Yeah, I totally agree. How many, I mean, Lee Haney retired, I think, at 32 years of age, which is incredibly young after winning 8 Mr. Olympias. I mean, most guys aren't even pro by the time they're 32 as well. I mean, how many Mr. Olympias do you think Lee would have won if he just went, you know, as long as he could have gone? Do you think he could have won, you know, like, you know, 14 or something like that?
No, Dorian would have stopped him. I think he would have won the next one, but in 93, Dorian took shit to another level. So I think that's where it would have ended. I think he would have got 9, and that would have been it.
Yep, fair enough. All right, that's the end of the Ask Scotty and Bodybuilding Yes or No segment. Scotty, I just want to thank a few sponsors before we go to our interview of the week. Bulknutrients.com.au, International Protein. We've actually got an interview with Adam John Waite where he talks about his diabetes and what he does to kind of maintain that coming up after this. Mass Nutrition, over 40 stores around Australia and New Zealand. And, of course, the main sponsor, Species Nutrition. Scotty, that's it for us. Everyone, stay tuned for our interview of the week coming up in just 2 minutes.
Editor-in-chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are 5 key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. This week I'm joined by Australasian classic men's champion Adam John Waite. Adam, welcome to Aussie Muscle Radio.
Thanks, Abe. Thanks for having me, bro.
No worries at all. Now, we competed against each other actually at FedEx in 2014, only about, what, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks ago now. I'm kind of losing track of time a bit.
Feels like a year, mate, already, eh?
Yeah, and we was in a big lineup of about, I think it's about 12 or so guys, and we were 1 and 2, which was always nice. And yes. Yeah, it was a great contest, but
you won, of course.
Oh, thank you, mate. I didn't want to sound cocky or anything like that. So because you were
it's all right, mate.
You were very, very well conditioned, and I was looking at you actually backstage, like when the top 3 was called out to come out on stage, and was waiting at the side there. me and Rowan, who was to, he was third in the contest. We're both looking at you, just saying like, that's ridiculous. You got shredded glutes, you know, just standing there relaxed. So it was just, you were in outstanding condition. We thought we were 2 and 3 at that point. So for me to come and win, I was stoked.
Well, mate, you knew how to pose, my man. That's, you know, you can come in shredded as, but if you can't present it, mate, that's what I think my weakness was when I versed you guys, man. And Dave, you just came through and posed the hell down, mate. It was great.
Cheers, brother. This interview isn't about me. This is about you. So we're gonna talk a bit about you're actually a type 1 diabetic, which is, you know,
yeah,
it's something obviously you don't, you know, when you see people on stage, obviously you don't know if someone has, you know, some type of health issue or some type of disease state or something like that. And it's, I mean, there's a lot of misconceptions about type 1 and type 2 diabetes. And people actually don't know or don't know the severity of type 1 diabetes. So why don't you firstly just tell us, like, I suppose, the difference between the two, like type 1 and type 2 diabetes.
Sure, well, yeah, well, type 1, which is obviously what I have, type 1's more insulin dependent. So therefore, if you see people injecting needles into their stomach or their little side of their glutes, pretty much that's type 1 diabetes. Type 2... you know, it's been on the news a lot. It's an epidemic at the moment, mate. It's the obesity epidemic. And type 2 is just increasing in Australia. That's more oral tablets. So, look, that can be brought on from, obviously, you know, family history. So can type 1 diabetes. But unlucky for me, mate, I'm the only person in my whole family chain that has type 1 diabetes. So, you know, I say I'm lucky, but I really mean lucky, mate, because it works to my advantage sometimes.
Yeah, and it's a massive big deal because type 1 diabetes is obviously the more serious of the two.
Yeah, look, obviously, look, you've got more health risks. Obviously, I've got to check my sugars probably every 2 hours a day, sometimes in the middle of the night as well. I've obviously got to inject insulin every 2 hours. But as well as that, look, when, you know, for example, for you, for normal competitors, you can do fasting cardio. I've got to watch my sugar every 5 minutes, pricking myself just to make sure I don't go too low on sugars and obviously have a hypoglycemic, which is low sugars, and I have to obviously eat carbohydrates. So to come into a condition, you know, obviously to compete against you guys on stage is, you know, it's a bit difficult, but as well as having the right structure, you can manage it for sure, man.
Yeah, now you're actually by far the best conditioned guy in our lineup and one of the best conditioned guys of the whole day of all of FitX, which is pretty outstanding.
Thanks, bro.
No, it's, I mean, people only need to look at pictures and they can see that. Now, I mean, were you well conditioned in your off season, or was you just kind of, you know, just nailed it?
Well, in all honesty, I got Mike Lee as my coach, who had, what's his name, 212, I'm having a mind blank.
Gary Wright?
Gary Wright, sorry. Mate, he's a good mate of mine. I've lost his name. Yeah, so I had Mikey prepping me for off-season. Mate, he was just filling me up with carbs and got up to 107 kilos, so I was a bit chubs. But and then obviously came in 78 kilos on stage, so I didn't stay lean all year round, which was a bit of a bit stupid by me of a diabetic, because obviously carbohydrates aren't our friends, and look, we should really just be eating proteins and fats. That's what I was doing for my prep, but in all honesty, mate, this year until the Arnolds, I'll be staying pretty lean, but just focusing on lean gains. So yeah.
Yep. So basically, run us through what you have to do as a diabetic, like, you know, as a type 1 diabetic, while you're prepping for a contest and even off season as well.
Yeah.
And obviously what you've done in the past. Firstly, go what you've done in the past, and then what you're doing now.
All right. Well, first thing is, man, like, 16 weeks to go to a comp. I was looking pretty chubby, a lot watery. So I contacted another lady named Colette Nielsen, who's a IFBB pro, who just recently sold her contract to Species. She was, she's actually a diabetic as well. So I spoke to her and told her what my carbohydrates regime was and all. And she pretty much said, look, we got to change your whole lifestyle. So I had to change my whole insulin. I was on a diabetes pump. I had to get rid of a diabetes pump, which a diabetes pump just gives me insulin 24/7 without injecting needles. I changed my diet from having sweet potato, brown rice, to pretty much having baza, barramundi, salmon, and green beans, pretty much, just to stabilize my sugars and have less insulin to keep that water retention down.
Yeah, were you having many fats with that as well? Or?
Yeah, man, I was having avocados. Every third night, you know, you guys get to go out on a big cheat meal. Once a week, I get to have one Quest bar and some salmon and green beans. That was my cheat meal. So,
that's brutal.
Oh, mate, the Quest bar was amazing in the microwave. But, you know, International Pregnant had these bars. They come out just on our comp day at FedEx, so we didn't even get to taste them. During my comp prep, which wouldn't have been perfect, but in all honesty, man, everyone says, look, you know, it's got to be so hard being a diabetic, but it just comes down to obviously your mindset, obviously, you know, Zave, but as well as getting that structure that Colette gave me, just low carbs like keto throughout the whole prep, and obviously, you know, just managing it with fats as my fuel, and look. Like I said to you, I dropped about 12 kilos in like 5 weeks just from that. So, you know, it's amazing how less insulin and less carbohydrates works for a diabetic. So, yeah.
And it worked absolutely outstanding for you. When you said about the insulin pump, where does that sit? Like, where is that injected into you and stuff like that?
Well, okay, so we get we inject a little needle that we pull out, and it leaves a little cannula, a little plastic. You know when you go for in hospital and they put you on drips, it's like that. And they put it, you can put it in the side of your glute or in your stomach, abdominal region. And what the problem is with that as well is I started to tend to have so much insulin that I was getting stomach, like the stomach was building up too much insulin. So I had an insulin roll. Of fat, so I had to get rid of that as well. So yeah, so that's where it's located.
That's pretty interesting because, I mean, did that ever make it hard to train? Because you've got to leave it on basically, do you leave it on all the time or do you take it off for showering or what do you do there?
Well, yeah, you just disconnect for showering.
Yep.
But obviously when I was training, I was trying to keep my sugars at a steady state. So I left it on when I was training. If my sugars are going too low, I'd take it off. But if it was too high, I'd obviously have to inject insulin during training. But when obviously I was training, it worked in an advantage as well because when you're training, your growth hormone increases, and for that diabetic, your sugar levels actually increase as well. So I didn't have too many low sugars doing weights. It was just more the cardio that I had to watch out for. But obviously, as well as upon wakening, your hormones increase as well. So I was lucky enough to do fasted cardio every morning for about 40 minutes just to get that, burn the fat cells, obviously.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so what are you doing now? Like in terms of, like you said, while you did your prep and stuff, you worked with Colette with your insulin and you obviously got that under control.
Yep.
What are you doing now? It's an off-season scenario. Have you added any more carbs or are you basically doing a ketogenic type diet year round?
Well, pretty much now it is, Dave. It's pretty much having 400 grams of beans each meal just to fill me up, about 200 to 250 grams of chicken each meal. So it's still keto, but I'm also including a lot more fats. I'll do my off-season cheat, so I'll go to town on Macca's and Porto's and all that type of stuff on the weekend, one meal a week, as Colette would hate to hear that. But it just gives me a bit more of a sane feeling. And like I said, I want to be competitive, and to be a diabetic and be competitive, you can't blow out to 107 kilos and risk your health of having too many high sugar levels. So I'm pretty much, feels like I'm prepping all year round in some aspects, but I still get to be sane and have a Porto's with the missus every now and then, so it's not bad.
It's always good. What are the, like you mentioned obviously the health risks with type 1 diabetes, what are they? Is it mainly just that you could go, you know, hypoglycemic or?
Yeah, well, look, everyone's sugars are between 4.0 and 8.0 millimoles in blood. If my sugars go below 4, you start to feel shaky, sweaty. Everyone would feel a hypo. You know, when you haven't eaten for a while, you get anxious, angry, bit shaky, sweaty. Well, that's happens to me, but it happens to me more regularly. If it drops too low, I'll go into a coma. And some aspects, some people don't wake up from a coma. It's touch wood, that never happens to me. But it's happened. It happens to young teenagers who just don't, who get out on a drink and don't actually feel the hypo coming on. And yeah, unfortunately, they go into a coma. But if it goes too hot, have cardiovascular problems. I can have you know, later on down the track, eye problems. Hand gangrene, feet problems. Yeah, so it's pretty complicated, but hopefully I won't get any of them, mate.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't know about the gangrene type stuff and the heart type problems. Obviously, I knew about the, if you can go hypoglycemic and stuff like that. But I mean, yeah. Have you ever had like a scare or anything growing up?
The biggest scare I've had, touch wood, I've never been to a coma. I know I've spoken to Manly's Brett Stewart a lot. He when I was younger, he's had a couple of scares. He's passed out every now and then. He used to have yogurt before a game. The only scare I've ever had was on a train down to Wollongong, and my sugars are about, I think, 1.0, and I thought, oh no, I'm gonna go on the train down to Wollongong. So I had to speak to a person next to me who was actually eating a chocolate bar, and I said, can I have your chocolate bar? I'm actually diabetic. So they gave me their chocolate bar and saved my life pretty much.
That's pretty lucky.
That's the only scare I've had, thank God. Yeah, well, mate, someone was looking out for me, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah. Luckily, we're kind of like an unhealthy nation at the moment. We eat chocolate bars and stuff like that, so lucky for you.
Exactly. Well, we're saying, you know, cut type 2 diabetes out for obesity, mate. That saved my life, so... Yeah, man, it was a bit of a wake up call next time to carry some glucose tablets on the way down to Wollongong. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So, what are your plans for here in terms of like competing and are you gonna do classics still or are you gonna go up some divisions?
Well, look, man, like all honesty, my goals are to do another competition next year. It's probably most likely the Arnold Classic in the classics. It was going to do a weight category, but lucky enough, I was sponsored by International Protein, so I want to represent them in the Arnolds next year. So that'll be a major goal. Another goal is to get more awareness with diabetes. That's why I mainly did the comp, to show people that say, oh, I've got diabetes, I can't do this, I can't do that. Well, you know, I've just been keto for 16 weeks. You can do anything you put your mind to. So I'll be doing more with Diabetes Australia as well. But in terms of my bodybuilding career, I'd love to do classics and versus the old Xavier Wills again, mate, and see if I can try get one up on you.
Mate, that'd be awesome. So what I mean, you're obviously in the medium class as all combined at FedEx. So what weight were you at FedEx, and what will you be next year? Are you kind of maxing it out already?
Well, look, yeah, 78 was when I was on stage against you. At the moment, I'm about 89, sitting at 89. And like I said to you, I still feel fairly lean. I was joking around with Mikey, still another comp in a couple. He was actually serious, so I wasn't, no way I'd put my body through that again. But look, hopefully a couple more kilos. You know, I've got my weak parts that I'm not going to name to you because I don't want you to know what they are. But I've got to work on them to, you know, to accomplish something better. And if I come in better than last year, mate, that's what I'm all aiming for, man.
Well, mate, I actually saw a picture of you pop up on Facebook. It was, I don't know when it was from or if it was from one of your first comps or whatever, but you've made absolutely leaps and bounds of improvements since then. And from obviously the start of your diet until the condition you came in at FedEx, that impressed the hell out of me. I did not think, based on, you know, what I'd seen for you during your prep and before your prep and stuff, that you were going to come in that crazy condition. So
you impressed the hell out of me. That's exactly right, man. Look, I had someone at my gym the other day go, you compete? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, oh, I saw you, 6 months ago? You're fat. Okay, well, yeah, I was. But, you know, Mike Gretsch might hate me to bring up his name, but look at him in the off-season, look at, he comes in, you know, just shredded as. So I guess it might work for a non-diabetic, but for diabetics, let's just stay a bit leaner.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe we'll see now a feud between you and Mark Gretsch like we have with every other bodybuilder on Facebook at the moment. But, mate, thanks for coming on Aussie Muscle Radio. Is anyone out there you want to give a shout-out to? Obviously, International Protein that are supporting you now.
Oh, of course, man. Look, International, it's, you know, it's great. I've been using my diabetes. Look, it didn't spike my insulin. It's a very clean product. If you want something to, you know, something to buy with natural, you know, natural aminos, it's just amazing. But, you know, look, I'd love to speak to any diabetic out there who wants to compete. I'm more than happy to answer any questions they've got. You know, that when I first started Zave, like, I had no one to talk to. I was like, what the hell do I do? But now I've got so much knowledge, and I just want to help people, mate. So when that's, you know, International Protein and anyone else that wants to chat to me, mate.
Excellent. That's awesome. And I'm sure you will get a few messages as well. I mean, I was surprised when I put out the thing that I had, you know, like adrenal fatigue and things like that. The amount of people that messaged me asking for advice and asking if they had it and all that type of stuff. Mate. It was pretty amazing. It was pretty shocking as well. There's so many people out there struggling with something like that. So,
mate, yeah, you're in, like, I've got diabetes, but look, there's other bodybuilders out there. They've had stuff like yourself that, you know, it's just inspirational and pushes me through, mate. So well done to yourself as well, mate.
Cheers, mate. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show, mate. That's Adam John Waite, International Protein-sponsored athlete and Australasian champion.
Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them, because they challenge the way people make them think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm joined by Michael Galley, and we are here to wrap up the show. Mick, how's your week been, mate?
Good, Xavier. Another action-packed week of training, work, PTing, selling subs, and general chit-chat. But, and I haven't told you yet, because I wanted to shock you, I just finished training at World Gym.
Yep.
And about 10 minutes to go on my workout, have a guess who walked in. Have a guess.
Lee Priest.
No, fuck. have another guess.
I have no idea. I can't guess.
The Rock.
Oh, you see, he's filming up there, isn't he?
Yes, I didn't even know he was filming up here. And he's walked in with either a couple of security or whoever was trying. They're big guys. And fucking hell. It was just, I mean, I've seen him train at Golds a couple of times, but this is like your hometown. This was so cool. Everyone in the gym just stopped and went, no way. And he's that sort of guy, he's just one of those guys who's just cool.
Yeah.
So I sort of watched him for a little bit. He wasn't doing much. He was just warming up by the time I finished up. But one of the staff had come around just after he walked in and was pretty strict in saying, you know, don't go up to him, don't ask for photos or anything like that while he was training. So yeah. I'm sure after he trained, it'd be all right. But during, everyone just let him be. But that was pretty cool.
That's fair enough too, because like, imagine how annoying that would be, like going somewhere and wanting to just train.
Yeah.
And being just hounded by everyone. So
yeah, it did suck. Yeah. So that was pretty cool. That's pretty much the highlight of my day. And then I drove down to Mass Nutrition Broadbeach and spoke to Mr. Craig Cassidy and Lachlan Donaldson, who's the training partner of Luke Mass McNally, and we just talked shit for another hour about what's been going on.
Sounds like a cruisy day. So that was today, was it? All that.
That was today, yeah.
Sounds like an eventful Monday, mate. Now, you've actually been getting ready to move. I don't know if we've mentioned it. I think I briefly mentioned on the radio show last week, but then you said you'll save it for this week. So why don't you tell us what you're going to be doing and all about the big move and stuff?
Well, Xavier, I mean, you're a close mate of mine, and I did bring this up to you quite a few weeks ago. Everything had to be pretty quiet because I wasn't sure if I was going to get my... my visa paper signed, actually, but they finally did get signed on Friday. Mate, yeah, I'm going to Koh Samui. I'm moving over there for either a 6 month to a year period.
Which is in Thailand, for people don't
in Thailand, know. Yep. Koh Samui is an island off the coast. I've actually never been to Koh Samui before, believe it or not, but I hear out of everyone in Thailand, that is the best place to be, the cleanest, friendliest, cheapest sort of area. A friend of mine, Johnny, he owns the Phuket Pro Nutrition chain of supplement shops in Thailand, PPN. And Johnny, we've been mates for a long, long time, and I've seen Johnny set up his shops over there. I've actually worked in a few of them when I go over on holidays, when I stay with Johnny. And he's always wanted me to move over and work in one of his shops. And the timing's never been right. The offer's never been, like, good enough to move. And he approached me about their new shop, him and his general manager, James, and the new one in Koh Samui, which is built next to a new gym that's just opened up over there, which is, I put a picture up on Facebook the other night. It's an awesome gym, run by a couple of Norwegians. And the first few offers they put through, I mean, it just wasn't worth it where I'm at, what I'm making here and moving from the Gold Coast. But the final offer they put in, I mean, I could not turn it down. It was way too good. Everything from the fact of them putting me up at a resort for 6 months to a year, however long I stay, to the money, to the percentage of profits. And I thought, mate, I love traveling. And I thought, you know, this is an opportunity that I might regret 6 months down the track if I don't take it. So off I go. But the best thing of all, Xavier, is I will still be able to do my segment with you, which is a massive thing to me because I love doing it. So we may have some cool stories to talk about from Koh Samui. Who knows?
Exactly. And you were like, I could tell you was kind of stressed about telling me about it initially. Yeah. You were like, look, you know, tell me if it's not, you know, not okay and what you think about it and stuff. And mate, I couldn't be happier for you. And it sounds like it's a massive opportunity. And the deal you've got as well is really quite good because you really won't be paying for much over there, eh?
No, I have been looked after very well. I won't go into it too much because obviously there are other shops. There's quite a few employees there as well, which I'm not sure what they're on. But, I mean, I definitely came with a lot – well, I'll back myself. I came up with a lot more experience. I also know Koh Samui is very isolated, so they do need someone there they can trust and who can, you know, capitalise on all – there's a lot of fight gyms in Koh Samui, a lot. And there's a lot of top fighters that go over from America to Koh Samui to train before their UFC fights. And another good friend of mine, Hector Lombard, who was starting to make a big name for himself in UFC, we've only just been talking recently, and he's about to come over and stay for a month and train over there as well, which will be awesome. So you've got to put all those factors in. It could really be huge. I know what these shops turn over there. People think, oh, Thailand, it couldn't make much money. Believe me, these shops turn over some big dollars. And I think this one in Koh Samui, if it's done right and we get out there and get the name for it, I'm excited to see where it goes, mate.
Yeah, but, exactly. And the good thing is as well, like, I mean, it's not so much for the actual locals and stuff. It's more from the tourists, isn't it, that actually buy a lot of supplements and
stuff?
Yeah,
it is. A lot of the locals, I know, like a lot of the Thais, they don't have much money. At the end of the day, the supplements are still priced the same as what they would be in Australia. You can't discount supplements. You just can't do it. So you are catering to a hell of a lot of the foreigners that live there, and there are a lot in Koh Samui. There's a lot of rich people there, and also a lot of the tourists that go over there, plus the gym next door. I mean, the owners there, obviously, they knew that I PT. They said, would you be interested in doing some here? And I said, I could probably fit in 2 to 3 sessions a day with what I'm doing now. And they said, that's fine. We'll line it up for you. Still charge what I charge back home. So, you know, $70 or $80 an hour Australian. And they take 10% of that. So, mate, it's and I'm not spending any money. So everything goes in the bank, which is awesome. I just want to go over and just save some dollars.
Yeah, exactly. So it sounds like you've got a good setup over there, Mick. You've got a good gym, and it sounds like it's a good part of Thailand. So.
Yeah, and you'll be able to visit?
Exactly, exactly. I was almost encouraging you to leave so I could do that. You're far enough. I mean, it's cheaper for me to actually come to Koh Samui, I think, than it is to come to Queensland. So.
Yeah, I know.
Which
yeah,
is done well there. So. Which is interesting.
Yes, happy days.
Yeah, but we've actually got a decent amount of news this week. Like after the last like 2 weeks, I was just like, I was almost depressed how little bodybuilding news there was. But coming off the back of the Europa Orlando, which Scotty and I, by the time this is up, we already would have talked about that and wrapped it up kind of. But the big story to come out of that is Justin Compton. And understandably so, I thought he was actually, you know, mid to late 20s somewhere. He's actually only 25 years of age. This is his second pro show, I believe. And, you know, he turned pro in 2012. I believe it was 2012. Then he competed in 2013 with his first pro show, placed 5th in Chicago. And then, you know, not even a year later, I mean, it's probably about 8 months, and he has made some of the craziest gains in muscle. Actually, it's probably about, 8 to 10 months. He's made some of the craziest gains I've ever seen in that period of time. It is just insane. It would rival those that Ronnie made between 2002 and 2003, I think. It's just a crazy amount of muscle that he's put on. And at 25 years of age, I mean, you know, I was saying to you before the interview, before we talked, at 21, he looked like he was a natural guy. He didn't look big at all. 2 years later, wins his pro card. 2 years after that, he wins his first pro show and is being dubbed as, you know, like the next Dennis Wolf or possibly the next Mr. Olympia.
Yeah, I feel bad because last week when we discussed it, I mean, you remember, unless I must be living in a friggin' outhouse somewhere, I hadn't really seen anything of him. But then I looked him up a bit, looked at a few photos coming in a few days out from the comp, and then, man, this guy's got a massive future, hasn't he? 25 years of old. He's got no glaring weak points. He obviously has to bring a couple of things up, but there's nothing where you look at it and go, oh, shit, he really needs to get that up. His arms and shoulders are humongous. His leg sweep is incredible. Very, very close-looking physique to Dennis Wolf. I'm putting him top 5 at the Olympia at the end of the year.
Yeah, mate, totally same as me. He's just got, like you said, he's got that crazy, crazy quad sweep. And he's very reminiscent of Dennis Wolf, but with calves, basically. And the one thing I'll say Dennis definitely has over Justin Compton at this stage is that crazy back. Like, Dennis Wolf always copped it for having high lats and stuff like that. But his, I mean, the width and the amount of muscle Dennis Wolf has, especially on his upper back now, is just crazy. So from the back, I think Dennis Wolf would definitely still take Justin Compton. But, I mean, Justin, he's got much better glutes, much better calves. He's got those, like, you know, on that kind of frame, he's got that same kind of thickness through the delts and the arms and stuff that Dennis Wolf has as well. So I think, yeah, definitely Justin Compton's side chest and stuff would take Dennis Wolf's, probably side tricep. The front shots would be interesting to compare, but I mean, I would love to see that battle on stage and to see what it looks like, and I'm sure we will see it on stage at the Olympia.
Exactly, mate. Yep, only, geez, not too many months off, buddy. 5 months off, and we're going to be seeing it up there. And he won that show convincingly. I don't care what anyone says. If you look at it, like, De La Rosa is a damn good bodybuilder. I thought he owned De La Rosa easy. I just thought there was no comparison. And they do say that he did get perfect scores on the score sheet.
Yeah, and I mean, I would have given it to Justin Compton quite easily as well. But, I mean, De La Rosa is impressive, and that's the thing. Like, De La Rosa is an impressive bodybuilder, and De La Rosa, you know, in my eyes, beat, you know, Fred Smalls handily, you know, not like, you know, but not by a crazy amount, but I thought he beat him. And De La Rosa's, you know, is one of the top kind of guys going into the Arnold Brazil. Like, he's one of probably the top 5 guys going into the Arnold Brazil. And if Justin Compton knocks him off easily, and people are saying, oh, you know, some people think he's going to be better than Dennis Wolf by the Olympia, then Dennis Wolf placed 3rd at the Olympia. I mean, mm-hmm. People were forgetting that. So this guy could be placing top 3 in the Olympia and possibly even be a challenger. Like, if you take out the fact that, you know, he's going to be a rookie Olympian, he could be a challenger. And people were saying about Big Ramy last year and it didn't happen for him, but you know, it's going to be interesting to see, especially if Justin Compton decides to jump in that New York Pro and compete against Big Ramy. That's going to be very, very interesting.
Oh, I think he's got a better look than Ramy, to be honest with you. And this could be the start of something huge. He's 25, mate. He's probably, if it, no injuries and things like that, he possibly could have a 12 to 15 year career. And like I said to you yesterday, you know, like the Americans love the big, white, blonde headed guys, and there hasn't been one since Cutler. And, mate, they're screaming out for a new one on the block. And they, obviously, you had Dennis Wolf, but he was still German. Now we've got the American guy coming back. I think he's going to get a massive fan base very, very quickly.
Yeah, I totally agree. But let's move on. Let's talk about almost like a sad story of a week. And that's from Sean Roden. And he's actually broken his foot. And for like as a fan of Sean Roden, and you know, hearing that Sean Roden was going to do multiple shows this year, I was excited to see how he went with that. But he's actually broken his foot, so it's going to really set him back, and it's going to kind of put in question if he's going to be able to do the Olympia or not. Because, like you said, the Olympia is about 5 months or so away. You know, a broken foot, if it takes 12 weeks to recover, then he's only really got about 2 and a bit months to be fully healed to prepare for the Olympia. So, you know, he put a picture up on Instagram. He said, "Today started off with a broken foot. Had to rush to the emergency room by," I mean, it's got his girlfriend's or wife's name. He said a few hours later, crutches and some painkillers. And he says, still had to make an appearance at the Europa Orlando Fitness Expo at the VPX booth. Then was reminded as bad as this morning started. I still had to, there are little things to enjoy that makes me smile. So at least he's staying positive. But I mean, that's, I mean, he, deep down, he's got to be shattered.
Oh, absolutely, mate. Like you said, it could take, you know, what is it, 4 to 6 weeks, maybe in a cast, but you could, man, heavy squatting and leg press is going to be out for a while too. Exactly. So luckily in Sean's favour, his legs are his most dominant body part, but still, you don't really, you know, you don't really want to be neglecting them for a few months before the Olympia. And Sean, 100% on, is pretty much a lock for top three or four, so could be a big payday he's going to miss out on.
Yeah, and I think he probably will, because, I mean, when you got guys like, you got, think about the guys who are going to be out there this year, you've got, oh, who's the guy? I forgot his name this morning as well. Kim going to say Baiki, but the guy who got second to Sean Roden at the Australian Pro.
William
Bonac, yeah. You got William Bonac, who's going to be a potential top six guy, who I thought even could have beaten Sean Roden, and this was Sean Roden without a broken foot in Australia. You got guys, obviously, like Justin Compton now, who's going to be in the mix in that top six. You got, you know, Big Ramy with another year of training underneath his belt. I mean, if Sean Roden does come into the Olympia and he's slightly not, you know, he's not quite at his best, then he's going to be overtaken by these guys, I think.
Yeah, agree. He's it's something he's going to have to really think about. Depends what his new sponsor VPX think as well. Do they want to rush him into the comp, or are they going to let him sit it out and maybe just focus on the Arnold next year?
If you were Sean Roden and just say he's going into the Olympia and, you know, you could compete, but you're not really getting back to squatting and stuff until maybe 10 weeks out, 12 weeks out or whatever, what would you do? Would you push through and compete knowing that you're probably not going to be quite your best, or would you sit it out? Because you've obviously got all those shows after the Olympia too.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, the competitive side, you'd probably want to push it as hard as you could and see, but, oh, yeah, then again, if, you know, if he had a bad placing, say, 7th or 8th or 9th, that could sort of hurt him a little bit too and maybe hurt his confidence, but, yeah, it's a tough one.
Yeah, I think it's very much dependent on when his contracts end, because he's obviously signed with Flex Magazine, like AMI and WIDA, and he's also signed with VPX. So depending when those contracts end, because if he hurts his stock and then has a contract negotiation in November or October or December or something like that, then I would definitely be staying away from, I'd be staying away from the Olympia and then just going maybe for the Arnold Classic next year and doing the Australian and maybe the Arnold Brazil or something like that. Instead of going for those ones, because, you know, if he skips those ones and then does well or possibly wins the Arnold Classic next year, then his stock remains, you know, remains the same or goes up a bit. So, you know,
it's true, but I mean, you got to think too, Sean's he's almost 40 as well, so maybe in the back of his mind too is, you know, just, you know, go for it, just try and do every comp he can, even with, you know, even if the Olympia doesn't pan out. You know, he's only got a few more years at the top of the sport.
Yeah, that's true. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens, and I mean, I hope he comes back for the Olympia, in my mind, but you know, it'd be interesting to see if that's the best move for him, or if it does end up being possibly a disaster, which I obviously hope that doesn't happen. But we saw a guy who's kind of been through a lot of those dramas and stuff for the last few years, Victor Martinez. He was guest posing over the weekend. And from all reports, Mick, he was looking rather large and looks like he's getting back to the old Victor.
Yeah, he looked good. I mean, he came, I think it was just one of those shows where they brought him out. He did a few poses on stage. He had his jeans on, but yeah, everything's there. His shoulders, chest, arms were looking as big as ever. Couple of back shots, very, very thick. Doesn't seem to be blowing out too much at all from the Arnold, which is awesome. And yeah, I'm not sure where he goes from here. I mean, he's still got to get some more points, doesn't he, to qualify or to make sure he qualifies. So I'm not sure what his next show was, but
he's doing the he said in an interview he's going to do the last show before the Olympia, so it's like a last ditch effort to qualify. So he's pretty much going to have it. So you know, possibly he'd get in if he got second or something. But it seems like actually with the point system the way it is, he might have to at least get top two or three with points, or he might actually probably have to win the show to qualify. Yeah. So he might not be on the Olympia stage.
Fuck, would that suck for him? I mean, if anyone can pull something like that off, Victor can. He's just got to nail it 100%, but he's definitely filling out that frame every time you see him. So I've got no doubt he'll be better than he was in March come the Olympia time.
Yeah, and I think, he's probably got it in his head because, I was thinking why the hell wouldn't he do the last, two or three shows before the Olympia to make sure, but I think he's, trying to give himself, the maximum amount of time he can so he can get, obviously as much muscle back on and as good as he can. And then, he probably figures if I'm not good enough to win this show, then I'm not good enough to place top six in the Olympia or something. So he's gone in that mindset, and I think that's exciting because we're going to see a Victor that might be getting a lot of hype going into the Olympia if he does that last show and wins it convincingly.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see, wouldn't it?
Definitely. But a guy who's switching up divisions, Mick, Bauto Abspor, who... there's a lot of talk about it for a while, saying he's not big enough for Open Olympia, all that kind of stuff, and he's just not, he's not going to be big enough basically, and he's never going to be big enough in that Open Olympia, and even in some pro shows to possibly take out several of them and stuff. So there's kind of a lot of people urging him to drop down to 212. I think he competes. I think he said he competed around, I don't know what it was. I think someone said 218, but I kind of find that hard to believe with his height and being so short. But he's going to be doing the 212. So, I mean, he's coached by Dennis James, apparently, and he's going to be debuting at the New York Pro, and he's going to be doing the Tampa Pro as well. Mick, is this a good move for Bauto?
I think it is, mate. Yeah, I think he's a really, really good 212 competitor, whereas over 212, he's good, but he's not going to sort of cut it. He's definitely improved. Those photos he put up were And he's pretty hard in them, and he's packed on a little bit more size. So I think definitely a good move for him to go back down to 212, and he's going to be a lot more competitive at that weight.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, what kind of... Do you think he can actually be, with Flex Lewis moving on, do you think he can possibly be 212 Mr. Olympia? Do you think he has actually what it takes to contend with someone like David Henry?
Two totally different physiques, really, isn't it? I mean, I'd probably say Dennis. Yeah, Henry's still probably the favoured one that you'd think would probably slot into there if no one else is coming through. But two totally different physiques. David Henry's that more pleasing sort of look. Just depending on what they're after. I mean, it'd be a good matchup, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Bauto, I mean, he was... Do you remember seeing the photos of him coming out when no one really had his name or anything? That's coming out of Europe and stuff. He looked like... I didn't obviously know he was so short at the time, but I was thinking, this guy is going to be like a contender in the Olympia. I was freaking out, but obviously he's much shorter than he looked in these pictures. But, I mean, he has a huge amount of muscle and just packs onto that frame pretty well. But, Scott and I have actually talked before about it, his physique a bit, and he almost looks like sometimes in some photos where his upper body is the upper body of someone else's, like his upper and lower body don't match or something. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yeah, I can see what you mean too. Yeah, his legs especially, there is a bit of a difference there, isn't there?
Yeah. So, his legs are obviously massive and he's got quite big...
Sweeps, nuts.
Yeah. So, he's got quite hamstrings and glutes and everything. And just his physique almost doesn't flow from top to bottom, which is something you don't really see too much. Normally, you see something that, at least flows somewhat, but it just doesn't look like it flows like that. But the people that say he doesn't have, good aesthetics or anything, I think his aesthetics are actually quite good, He's one of the few guys that can actually still do the vacuum, so I find that impressive.
yeah, for someone that short to still sort of, you know, be able to pull that off and look good, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, Mick, you're like our like historian. You know all the Olympia results and stuff like that. A guy actually passed away through a week, another bodybuilding death, which is sad to kind of report because we've seen a lot of it lately. And Vince Comerford passed through a week. And I've heard his name, like obviously only being 24 years of age, I've heard his name thrown around and I've heard people talk about Vince Comerford. And I've only ever seen a few photos of him, but I've never really heard about what he's done and what he's kind of meant to the sport and stuff like that. But I think you know a bit about him.
Yeah, Vince, I mean, he was sort of, when I started training, he'd been going for a couple of years. I think he won his pro card in 87 as a middleweight. Now, Vince is 5'4", but packs a lot of muscle. Now, they dubbed him the original Blonde Myth. So before Lee Priest, he was the Blonde Myth. So he won his pro card there. Now, that was the year that Sean Ray won the overall at the Nationals. You also had Phil Hill in there as well. So he had a pretty stacked lineup that year. He went on from there, his next pro show, he went on to place third at the Ironman, the first Ironman in 1990. That Sean Ray actually won that one again. And then, if memory serves me correct, he failed the drug test in 1990 Olympia, along with three or four other guys. And that's when Vince McMahon came in and started up the WBF, if you remember that. The Bodybuilding Federation that lasted 2 years, Gary Stride winning both the titles.
He paid them a lot of money.
Yeah, well, no, they all did sign up to some pretty big paychecks back then. You actually had a couple of big guys move over, like Barry DeMay, Gary Stridham, Mike Christian, Jim Quinn, David Dearth, Vince Comerford, who we're talking about now. So you did have some big guys move over, and they all did get big paychecks. And I even remember they actually had their own magazine come out for those 2 years, the WBF magazine, which I bought a few times, and they really made them out to be, you know, superstars and dressed them up and partying and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, I know I'm pretty sure Gary made a lot out of that too with the titles he won, but I can't really remember how Vince went. I don't think he placed too well at all there. And that was pretty much the end after that. I don't think Vince made a comeback. A few of the guys tried back in the IFBB, like Barry DeMay tried to come back, Gary Stride come back, David Dearth made a little one. I don't think Vince did, but Vince was known for his arms. Like, his arms were just incredible. His shoulders were packed, legs. I mean, you can imagine at 5'4", you've seen the photos. His physique was packed with muscle, like a Mohamed Benazizah, very similar to that, the way it was packed. So that was pretty much his career. And to be honest, I really hadn't heard anything of Vince at all until about possibly 6 months ago, where some photos went up with him training now. And he still looked good, still had big arms. Massive big goatee coming down, looked like one of those, you know, those ancient friggin' Japanese swordsmen or whatever, that big friggin' goatee. Shockingly, that went up on the forums the other day that he passed away.
Yeah, and it's sad to see someone passing away. Do you know what it's actually from, Mick?
Oh, it's always hard to tell what's going on with these things, but they said he was actually in the back of the gym in the office, and someone had come out to see him, and they couldn't revive him. So they were the heart problems, obviously, but whether or not there was any history of heart problems, I'm not sure. It's hard to say, isn't it? I mean, I guess a guy at that age, 52, and still trying to pack a lot of muscle on his frame, your heart can only take so much. So, yeah, whether or not there was history in the family, who knows?
Yeah, exactly. But you were mentioning how, you know, the WBF basically made it so these guys were like superstars and I was out partying and all that stuff. I actually saw a photo that Abe Elzebach posted on Facebook. Did you see that one today? He's got a cigar in his mouth.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, you've got to go on and look on Facebook and look. Yeah. He's got a cigar sticking out of his mouth, and he says he's at Wet Republic in Vegas and everything.
Oh, I love Wet Republic.
Yeah, and he's got a cigar sticking out of his mouth. I'm like, that is the most un-Abe-looking thing that I've ever seen in my life.
I've
got
to say that. Oh, classic.
So, yeah, I'll post that one up on the RX Muscle Australia Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah,
well, that one. So. I think Abe's just, enjoying some post-comp relaxation time. So.
Yeah, well, what a place to do it, let me tell you. Actually, I don't know how relaxing it is, because every time I come back from Vegas, I'm burnt out for another month.
So, oh, dear.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mick, I think that's about it. We've covered everything off pretty quickly this week. Did you have anything else you want to mention or any shout-outs or anything?
No, what was I just trying to think? Oh, it's funny. When I was trying to get I was trying to think of ways to get the Rock to use Prototype 7 when I was at the gym. I thought, I wonder if I can just get up and get him to use it, get a photo with him with Prototype 7 and put that up and plug it. But no, no one was coming close to him that day.
No. That would have been, imagine how much Matt would have loved you then.
Oh, mate, it would have been absolutely gold. Yeah, that's about it.
Sweet. We wrapped this one up pretty quick, but we've got a lot
we've
of
done
good,
well, haven't
a lot we? Of good news out there. I've actually liked it. There's been actually quite a bit of girls' news on this week as well, so I'll have plenty to talk about with Amy. Because it's I mean, the girls' news seems to be hidden a lot more in the industry. Yeah. Like, everyone finds out the guy stuff, but I have to go, like, digging through websites and stuff, and then I occasionally find some of it. But then a lot of the stuff comes out, like, a year later, like, oh, you know, this happened to this girl, or this happened to this competitor, and it's like, oh. Yeah.
That would have been... Oh, actually, yep. We just signed Andy Bell up to ATP.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, that just went
signed up.
Yeah, officially signed up. We got in. We've been talks with him for a while. Obviously, I'm very good mates with Andy, and I wanted him to come on board. And I think I don't know if we said my new role is looking after all the athletes with ATP as well, which I'll still do on Koh Samui because it's easy to do on Skype and email and just make sure they're doing the right thing. But Andy's actually off to Serbia next week. For a month or two, I think, to train with Milos and get all his end of year prep going. So he's very, very serious, mate. And I think we're going to see the best Andy Bell ever.
I think if Andy's in condition, I think it's going to be very, very hard to stop. It's
going to be very hard. He's packed on some serious muscle, that boy, and he's very dedicated. He knows what he wants, and I don't think he'll stop till he gets it.
Nah, awesome. I can't wait to see what he looks like on stage. But so what's your actual role with ATP now? Is it like athlete?
I don't know how Matt pronounced it.
Liaison?
Let's just go with ATP liaison officer. So how's that sound?
Oh,
liaison.
Very nice. I like it. Officer.
So basically, what had happened was, I guess no one who's on with the role now, but I could see Matt Legg being taken advantage of a lot by people, and he's a very generous guy, and he'd send out product left, right, and centre. And I thought, I know how busy he is. I know how busy the owner, Jeff, is, the marketing girl. Everyone's busy. I said, Matt, why don't I come on board, look after the athletes we've got? And we've got a wide range. We've got some of the best CrossFitters in the world. Now, I'm not a massive CrossFit fan, but I do respect what they do. We've got fighters. We've got one of the best golfers in the world, the long drive golfer, figure, bodybuilding. We've got a good range. So basically, we'll be sitting down with each of them on Skype or email. Whatever their contracts are, make sure they're getting what they need to help them. And vice versa, if they have any issues, they come to me, we talk about it, we can go through their diets, we can go through how to use their supplements for their training protocol. So basically, any dramas they have, they come to me.
That's awesome.
And I sort it out for them. So it just gives Matt a lot more room to move now. He doesn't have to constantly deal with all the athletes as well, even though he still will, but he can focus more on developing the products.
The thing is, people don't realize, like, all the back ends, all the stuff behind the scenes that goes on in supplement companies, in, you know, with RX Muscle, like what I do and stuff, all the little things, emails and all that crap that you have to look after day to day, and people contacting you with stuff and looking after your sponsors and all that stuff. Like, you add it up in a day, it's like, shit, that took me 4 hours.
Matt could be, I mean, Matt, this is what I love about Matt. He's still out there making these products himself. He was out there the last couple of days doing up more batches of T432. He loves doing that sort of stuff. So at the end of the day, if he's constantly emailing someone back or doing things like that, it's taking away a lot of time for him doing this. So, you know, if we can help out any way like that, it's going to be better for the company.
Yeah, and the thing is, it takes up, like just mental energy as well, because you'll be, like, thinking about, oh, I've got to reply to that person, I've got to do this. And then you get, I think I have to write it down, and then, you know, you lose your list. There's just so many, like... I don't know, if you got 20 things on the go, it's very hard if you're doing, like, a little bit of this, a little bit of that all the time. If you've got, you know, just a few things you got to do, it makes life so much easier. So I think that's obviously wise they got you on board, and you're going to be very good in that role. So congratulations on that one, Mick.
I can only hope. I don't want to be the fucking instigator for the downfall of ATP. Oh,
no, I think you'll do all right with that one. So. I know there's something else I was meant to mention, but can't quite remember it, but... Anyway, Mick, we'll wrap it up there. I want to thank our sponsors. We've obviously got ATP Science, which was just mentioning. We've got Gripped Fitness Accessories, which are a great sponsor of RX Muscle Australia, and My Muscle Chef. Their orders stop at Tuesday night at midnight. for the weekend's orders, and obviously all our other sponsors, which I mentioned with Scotty when I recorded with him, Mick. So that's it for episode number 102 of Aussie Muscle Radio. And remember, with Aussie Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Yeah! Aussie Muscle Radio is a presentation of RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australian bodybuilding. Visit rxmuscle.com.au for all the latest bodybuilding news, videos, contest coverage, and so much more. Tune in next week at this same time for another round with Xavier Wills and Scott Goble, only on Aussie Muscle Radio.